The Ultimate Fighting Championship played something of a role in Donald Trump's return to the White House, and now he's brought the cage fight event onto the lawns. The mixed martial art UFC Freedom 250 begins today to mark the president's 80th birthday. Donald Trump has also sought to tie today's event to celebrations marking the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Karim Zidane is an investigative journalist for Sports Politica with a forthcoming book titled In the Shadow of the Cage, looking at how mixed martial arts has turned into a multi-billion dollar corporate enterprise. Karim joins me now. Karim, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for having me.
What's the politics of all of this? How do we end up with a cage for cage fighting on the lawns of the White House with this president?
Oh, that's a big question. I'm going to try and sum it up as succinctly as I possibly can here. So this event is mutually beneficial. For Donald Trump, this is an opportunity for a president who has, in his second term, really pushed aggressive politics, both foreign and domestically. I mean, you think of the ICE raids, you think of his trade wars, you think of the actual wars that he's engaging in right now. This is a president who wants to present himself as a strong man who operates with the ideology of might is right. And to him, to someone like that, what better sport to place on the lawns of the White House than a UFC cage fight, right? A entity that is a meritocracy, or a supposed meritocracy, where the toughest person is victorious. So the symbolism here is perfect. For Donald Trump, this is a propaganda spectacle and a birthday bash all in one go. So a massive PR opportunity for a president who's extraordinarily unpopular. And for the UFC, well, this is an organization that has moved from being an ostracized league that was banned in 36 states, right, really almost regulated out of existence by Republicans, to now basically the new American pastime. This event proves that the UFC has become an integral part of Donald Trump's administration, of MAGA politics in general. And this event exists now because it's a reward from Donald Trump to the UFC for helping him return to the White House.
Karim, how much opposition and pushback has there been from various groups in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere to staging this kind of event at the White House?
I can't say that the opposition has been too significant. There has been a lawsuit, but the lawsuit was always doomed to fail, and it did fail a couple of days ago. There has been a lot of pushback in left-wing media. I will say prominent left-wing outlets in the United States have been very negative about this event, and I mean rightfully so. They're highlighting the corruption and the patronage involved, and that's exactly how an event like this should be covered. But if you're asking me about the general response to this in D.C., well, I'll tell you that the UFC released 85,000 free tickets for people to attend the fan festival in Washington, D.C. on the days leading up to this. All those tickets were basically sold out to the fans, and people are there celebrating it right now. So this is how events like this work, unfortunately.
Karim, in journalism, we often follow the money. What do we know about how the Trump family may be enriched by this event and some of the enterprises surrounding it?
Well, Donald Trump himself has taken out stock in TKO, which is the organization that owns both the UFC and the WWE. So he himself is looking to benefit from this. The UFC has entered a sponsorship agreement with World Liberty Financial, which is a highly scandalous entity that operates the Trump family's crypto schemes. And they intend on paying out bonuses of $250,000 in crypto to UFC fighters on the card. Of course, there's the patronage system that really is not discussed enough here, and how much the UFC itself is also enriching itself from this. It has entered new sponsorship agreements on the backs of this event, including an agreement with a very controversial defense tech company called Enduro, which sort of is trying to transform how we operate in warfare through AI and autonomous drones and sentry towers that surveil the border, etc. These are the entities that now work with the UFC. So both Trump and the UFC are enriching themselves and benefiting tremendously from this.
Last week, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, signed a memorandum of understanding with the UFC to create a public-private partnership. What do we know about this deal, and what's the government doing having a deal with a cage-fighting entity?
I am so glad you asked this question, because honestly, this news has gone under the radar. Truth be told, this is, I believe, the next stage in the UFC-Trump relationship. For many, and even for me for a while, I thought this UFC White House event would be the culmination of this relationship, as sort of as high as it goes. But what I've come to realize is things such as this memorandum of understanding signify a more formal integration of the UFC into American politics through initiatives such as sports diplomacy, which suggests that the UFC will actually be a factor in U.S. foreign policy moving forward. Now, truth be told, this is speculation at the moment, because the memorandum of understanding itself and the live stream offered very little nuance and information as to how this exactly will integrate. But suffice to say that this is one of many examples of the UFC being formally integrated into the government. Another one, to quickly mention it, is the UFC has signed a deal with the FBI to actually train FBI agents as well in MMA and combat. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of this.
Could you ever imagine a cage fight being staged on the lawns of the White House previously?
I've been doing this for 12 years. That's exactly what my book is about. It's a journey. It's part memoir, part investigation, looking at sort of my path through this sport over 12 years. And honestly, despite that I've been covering autocrats and dictators and their involvement with mixed martial arts, from Putin to Kadyrov to Jair Bolsonaro, I mean, you name it, I've been there. This still is somehow surreal to me, that we've arrived at this point where this relationship is so formally cemented and so normalized, and Trump has been so solidly rehabilitated by a cage fighting organization. I think it's time Americans and generally the world wake up to the actual political sway and influence that this organization actually has.
Karim Azadan, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure, Sally. Thank you so much.